All right, so I guess the podcast can start, huh?
Yeah, so, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to or not. But, I mean, honestly, do you want to talk about the stuff?
Not really. Okay. I'd rather talk about the Olympics, I guess. you know. Yeah, the Olympics. Let's talk about two completely different takes on the Olympics, right? Okay. You're all in.
You're right.
Right? And I'm boycotting.
Right.
So.
Right. So why are you boycotting?
Because I can't watch.
Well, you can.
Not really. Not the way I want to be able to watch.
Right.
So if they're not going to make available to me the ability to watch the way I would like to watch, then I'm just not going to watch. Does that make sense?
Well, why don't you? This is really without judgment. I don't understand how you're getting to they're not allowing you to.
All right. So for the summer, so here's the deal. You can stream, right? But you're limited in what you can stream based. You have to have a cable subscription to stream.
Right.
They don't offer like a one-off package just for the Olympics. So I can't go to like NBCOlympics.com and pay $50 to get unlimited access to the Olympics. They don't offer anything like that.
Right.
So 2 years ago for the Summer Olympics, I subscribed to cable in order to be able to watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
We had like a $50 package plus internet. So total we were paying, I think at the time we were paying like $90 a month or something like that.
Oh, wait, that's expensive.
Right. So I went online, went to log in with my Time Warner Cable credentials and was told, nope, your package isn't good enough for you to qualify for the Olympic streaming.
For the streaming, right.
So I canceled cable and I said, that's it. I'm done.
Okay.
So I'm done. Until NBC offers either free streaming with advertisements, which I would happily sit through, or they offer like a one-off package where you pay to get access to the streaming online, I'm done.
Okay.
So.
I follow. I'm shocked at how much your cable costs. I mean, I pay $40 and I do get the.
Our cable's ridiculous here. We have one choice. It's either that or DirecTV. So
I will say that this is what Dad felt about. This is why we didn't have cable. Because he just thought, you know, this is the whole rage of his that it was going at all towards like pay package for broadcast television. Right. And so like when you guys had cable in the 80s, we didn't. It was really all about that. And so I guess that's kind of what you're lining up on. I guess my feeling is that, you know.
Well, see, I'm happy to pay, though. If they had I'm serious. If they had a package and they said for $50, you can watch unlimited streaming of the Olympics. You will have to sit through advertisements. I would pay that.
Well, you do. I mean, they do have that. It's just that it's more than what, you know, you can. I suspect that you can subscribe to something that would get that, like. Like, I think that I get the streaming because I'm also – like, I'm paying for a package that includes NBC Sports Network.
I think that's the trick is it has to be a package that includes the NBC Universal stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that I would pay what you're having to pay out there for it. But that option does exist.
Right.
I would argue. I guess I kind of get it.
Yeah, but that's different too because you have to – like at our old house, we literally didn't have cable. So not only did we have to pay to get cable activated, we had to pay to get them to put cable lines in. We had to pay then the monthly fee. Well, that's a huge difference between just saying, hey, $50 and you can stream online, right?
Right, right. Well, that was Dad's position. He just didn't think that any of it should be – You know, his thing was where it got complicated is moving it to cable. You know, he was against – there's something – some kind of weird like sort of principled debate about that the airwaves are free, is that they're commonly owned by everyone, et cetera, et cetera. And so he had like come out of this thing and had like fought – like he had come down against any sort of pay television through the 60s and 70s. And so then he was like really against coax, kind of as a, because he felt like that that was just a way to get around that notion. So he didn't believe in any of that. I guess where I come down on that is that I don't really kind of have any principle on the thing. It seems like, you know, I don't know, you know, what I think should be free and what I think shouldn't be free. It's just, you know, people own stuff. And I mean, that's just kind of the world we live in. And where I do feel like is that they do offer, I mean, it is like free TV. We get as much Olympics as what we did as kids on free TV right now.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, there's as much Olympics on, you know, the same experience that we had in 1980, you can have right now without paying for anything, I guess. I mean, I don't even know how you do that anymore. I guess you do have to buy some kind of antenna, special antenna.
Well, no, I mean, you could, with a digital receiver, if you picked up NBC, you would at least get the NBC coverage.
Right. Which, right. To me, you know, they come on every day in the afternoon with a recap, 2 hour of replays, and then they have the whole primetime show, and then they go overnight. You know, they've got some stuff overnight too. So to me, I guess I kind of feel like, you know, we get that much free, and then, you know, if you want to pay more, I hate it that it costs so much where you're talking about. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm paying $40, and so that gets me into, and it's not like I looked at it, because I can, it never seems, it doesn't make any difference. There's no sense in researching it because it doesn't make any difference. You never get what you think you're getting when you pay for the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You pay, you send away a check, and then you know, you get what you get. I mean, that's just how it works.
Well, that's true. With
television, energy, and insurance, at least. I mean, those are and church, maybe. Those are the four things you're getting. But, and school, right?
Yeah.
And, so, but what I end up with, so I said, right, you know, I give away my check for $40, and then that's getting me on NBC Sports Network, and the streaming that I get, that I can get, it does have, yeah, you're right. It does. I didn't notice that, but you're right. It does have commercials. What I have does have commercials on the streaming. So maybe there's a whole.
No, they've always done commercials. See, my problem is I got exposed to the streaming once.
Yeah.
And that made me realize, well, that's the experience I actually want.
Right. That's kind of the sports writer thing. Like, I mean, even as little like rinky dink career as what I have, I mean, I almost cannot get myself to pay for a ticket to a sports event. No matter how little it is, I almost have to treat it like I'm doing an act of charity. Because like, if I have, I mean, it really does. It kind of galls me, you know, to go and pay, you know, $8 to get into a high school basketball game or something. It's just kind of like, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to get into these things for free. But
forget pro sports.
I get it. You know what? I figured you were, when I first saw that you said you can't watch the Olympics, you posted, I knew that you had problems with streaming or something. And like gotten angry about that previously. But I figured what you were saying when you said that on one of the first posts, and you really gave me pause, because I was certain that what you were saying was it had to do with the that you were kind of like writing off the whole like machine of U.S. Olympic Committee stuff after the gymnasts.
Well, that would be enough, right?
Well, that's what I figured you were talking about, and you really did. I mean, you kind of like staggered me for a day and was like, well, maybe I don't want to participate in this. And then it just turned out it had to do with your TV, right?
Yeah,
and I was like,
exactly.
Oh, well.
I would happily. Hey, look, the
I don't really roll.
USOC doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing in Norway, right?
Right. That's what I feel like too. And by the way, I don't really feel like, I don't know, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't.
Well, I think the problem
I'm always a reformer as opposed to a boycotter. Sure. But
to me, ultimately, the problem is who owns NBC. Like, if it were any other network, they would be offering streaming, I think. But NBC is owned by Comcast. You know, they're going to stand behind that cable model as long as they can. I mean, it's funny because I don't understand how you – what would it cost them to add on a pay feature to be able to watch the streaming? They're already doing it. Right, I mean, the streaming is there. So what would it actually cost them to add that model on?
Right. No,
it seems like all it would do is make them money.
Yeah.
But
no,
I don't know. It's funny, you know.
Well, I'm sure it has something to do with some kind of like internal struggle. I mean, that was the fight in the telecom companies once the public internet started coming about. They were all scared to death of going to kind of like all the people that, you know, the salespeople who were getting their commissions off of selling T1 lines. They really resisted, you know, any kind of like shift over to packet based.
Oh, sure. Right.
You know, because they're, you know, for a lot of reasons, but mainly because it seems their commissions were threatened. And so I'll bet that's what's going, somehow or another, the way their system of compensation is set up inside NBC that, yeah, the old Comcast people are. I will say this though, on behalf of cable, we have looked at least a couple, three times at like going to some, you know, this like new age version that you've looked at. And
like Sling or something like that. Sure.
And every time we add it up and like, look at all the stuff we would want to buy and that sort of thing, we end up back in cable. And
it's just as expensive.
Yeah. Your dad. Yeah, exactly. Your dad got me on. I mean, you know, it was so great to come over to your house and you guys had cable and I just couldn't believe it. And he got me hooked.
Well, that Paducah cable was amazing, by the way. It was very cheap and it was incredible.
Well, I think it's all amazing. I've never been around cable television and been unhappy with it. I mean, every other than how like having to deal with them, like technical support and stuff like that. But
no, cable's good. Our problem is we just don't watch enough TV to warrant. We've tried it a few times now, and it just we're not turning it on enough to warrant paying for it.
Well, even when I used to come and live with you guys, I mean, I was the one who, you know, I bought the cable, right? I mean, like that was like, you know, part of the.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, you guys didn't have cable before. I had cable in Washington when you lived in Philadelphia. You know, I was like, when I couldn't afford it, I was.
See, the Masters is another thing that's changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. You know, the Masters has made a big deal out of streaming the Masters. Right. So you can pretty much watch the Masters from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think it's hurt the viewership. I don't think it's hurt the numbers. You know, I think they're still making money.
Yeah.
And so to me, they've set a model that for years now, I mean, they've been doing this now for what, 4 or 5 years at least.
Yeah.
They've set a model that I don't understand why other people aren't copying. Like,
right.
if you're the Daytona 500, if you're NASCAR, and you own your sport, right, mm-hmm. you should be streaming every race online. I mean, your deal with Fox or whoever should be you're going to make all these races available online, period.
Yeah.
You know, you can throw all the advertisements on top of it you want, but you're making this available online. I don't, you know, because we need bodies at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, right.
And I think we've reached that point where you can't ignore that group of people who just don't have TV.
Yeah,
I mean that number's growing.
Well, so. I'm sorry that.
Anyhow, but what we should talk about, what I wanted to talk about, of course, now we're running out of time.
Yeah,
was this notion of what I'm seeing just by watching the headlines.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing by watching the
NBC
coverage and stuff like that.
I mean, who's kidding who? What you're hearing mostly is the Kornheiser show. And they are under this notion that the U.S. is choking because that's being driven by Tory.
Well, I don't really listen to Tory, but.
Right.
Actually, my Olympic stuff has been more from like USA Today, New York Times, and people like that.
What did I say?
Well, I saw where last night the Olympic hockey won gold.
Yeah.
In a shootout.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And the Canadians were not happy. The
They got their ass kicked.
Yeah, that they got the silver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vaughn got a bronze. That was great. I was very happy about that.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Schifrin won the silver, right, in the combined.
That's great.
Which is great. We keep following all the time in ice figure skating. Apparently we can't figure skate anymore without people falling.
Yeah, I think we're just in this gulf our national champions are like really, really, really young. So I think we're in an ebb for figure skating. Yeah, right. That's true. Right. Yeah. Well,
so that's kind of what I've been seeing, you know, because most of the coverage I see is just about the U.S. It's not about anything else.
All that's accurate. I mean, the most shocking thing for me is the developing John Schuster story, which is that they come in. John Schuster keeps on slugging it out in men's curling.
Is the curling guy. Okay, yeah.
That's the curling guy. Okay, this is his third time of being skipped, and like last time they finished ninth of 10 teams, and like he is an object of derision, including me at different points. So then they come in and a couple things before this Olympics, since the last Olympics, he changes his team. Okay.
Right.
He like becomes like he merges with this other like main rival, a guy named Tyler George. Tyler George was the skip of a different team, but they merge. Okay. And they form this new team. And furthermore, John Schuster's lost 35 pounds since the last Olympics. Okay. So he's like, and he's gotten older. He's become a dad, all these like life changes and that sort of thing. And he like, has got himself back into having the like best, obviously the best team in the country, the best rank in the country. And so to some degree, and what you get is like some people are kind of like in this, they're angry at the USOC for continuing to send John Schuster as their skip. And I'm like, who's beating him and from the country? I mean, you know, that's it. He's our best guy, you know, so whatever you want to say, he's the one who keeps on like spending, you know, a lot of his life going to these curling events,
right.
Winning them. So I'm like, you know, he's my guy. And I didn't do it. You know, he did. So anyway, so there he is. So here's John Schuster in his middle-aged curling rink. And they're over there. And they open 2-4 in the round robin play. So it looks like they're just dead. And I mean, he is like missing shots left and right. And I mean, it's just so over the top. And it's crazy. Some of the shots that he like missed early in the tournament, like, and he totally owned it. And he was like, you know, like the interviewers would like say, you know, like you guys really missed some, you know, they'd somehow talk about you guys and that sort of thing. And he would correct them and say, it wasn't you guys. It was me. I missed those shots. And, he was like, you know, the rest of the team's playing well. It's me. And I don't know what to shake out of it. But he has, and they've won four in a row. So then they come back and they've won four in a row, including upsetting just this morning, Canada in the semifinals, Canada, which had won, I forget how many medal golds in a row, and so now they're in the gold medal.
Yeah. Chuck Culpepper has this story actually in the Washington Post today.
It's been amazing
about them beating Canada.
So that was today. They beat Canada twice in this tournament. Canada was actually their turnaround game, where like that was the first one of the four in a row that they won to get themselves to this gold medal match. But like in the interview afterwards, like he just like totally broke down in the interview, and like this guy named Tyler George, who is. Like he had to take over the interview because John Schuster just like from the emotional stress of it just broke down. Like it was the first match he played well, and he like started to be interviewed, and I don't even know what he was talking. He's talking about his dad, and he was talking about this and that. And Tyler George came, you know, like took over the interview for him, takes over the interview for him. It was like one of the greatest moments of reality TV like I've ever seen. And he's like, "There's a reason we stuck with this guy," you know, and he has like you know curling is so cool on TV. Because, you know, it is so confined. I'll wrap this up really fast.
No, you're fine.
I've been thinking a lot about this, why it's so good on TV. And it's kind of, it's the same, it's a similar appeal to bowling, You know, and like bowling has this weird appeal on TV, right? I mean, it's like bowling's ratings on TV are always great. And the reason I think why it's so good on TV is because it's just such an emotional higher wire act to get the human body to do over and over again something that almost anyone can do once, right?
Right.
If you bowl, you know, if you took your daughter, if you take your daughter out, even without the rails, if she bowls five games, she's probably going to knock down all the pins one time.
Right.
Everybody can do that. And professional bowlers, their whole there's no wind variation, there's no weather, there's no not, you know, no distance and no difference in length. It's just a matter of doing that over and over again. Okay, curling does the same thing basically. There's almost no variation from, you know, stone to stone and rink to rink. It's all the same length, all that kind of stuff. But now you add the team dynamic. And so now you've got this like emotional crucible of like trying to get your body to perform like a computer, except then you also have to live in the team dynamic. And you have to, like, you know, that's what Schuster said at one point. He says, everybody, you know, you're living in this like cocoon where like when you make a mistake, like when you're playing badly, everybody on your team and your opponent, and they're all right there, and they all know you're playing bad.
Right.
So that's like when you're playing badly with a guy who, you know, like when you're playing with a guy who's playing badly in golf, like you always used to have to do with me. And like you're trying to like say the right things, or maybe you shouldn't say anything, or, you know, so you get those kind of, it's this like whole eggshell deal within the team dynamic.
I've always thought the thing about curling that seems to me so difficult is essentially you're putting over and over and over again.
Yes, it's
and putting, if nerves get in on your putting, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about yeah. the moment. Schuster said in this Chuck Culpepper piece, he said, they were talking about the winning shot he made, and he said it just seems so easy.
Yeah, right.
You know, it just, for some reason, it just felt so easy. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad that the curling has lived up to its thing this year. Because initially it looked really bad. So.
Oh, it's just like incredibly unlikely.
Now they're going up against the number one team in the world.
Oh, it'll be shocking if they won. It was shocking they won today. I mean, it's incredible that they got into the medal round.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable. This is the furthest the U.S. has ever been in curling. The only time we've ever medaled was a bronze in 2006 in men's curling. I'm not sure about women. I don't think we've ever medaled in women's curling. And so I think we've gotten one medal, which, by the way, Schuster was part of that team. He wasn't the skip, but he was part of that team.
Right.
But anyway, so this is absolutely the best this country has ever done in curling. And they did it by taking Sweden's number one in the world right now, but Canada is by far and away the dominant, you know, nation over time and even recent history. And they had to take them out twice to do it. So, you know, good for John Schuster. I just think it's really, that's really, really cool. And this guy, you would love this guy, Tyler George, the second that he's got, because he has to, he is like having to up manage all the time. Like you can hear him talking Schuster through these shots, and yet it's Schuster's decision because Schuster's the skip.
Right.
Anyway, Tyler George is like the best middle manager in the history of the world. He's so good. It's really cool. But anyway, so I've loved that. And then the other huge thing that you would have, I wish you would have been watching this yesterday. Our women's cross country skiing team.
I know. I saw that headline.
Oh, God. Oh. I was screaming.
I didn't get to read the piece, but I did see the headline that they had won.
I couldn't believe it. This girl at the front. So it's got, so the,
what,
the team.
What distance was it?
It's, is it 5 kilometers? I think it's just.
So it's one of the shorter ones.
Yeah, it's called team sprint. It's five all, or it's, I guess it's four rotations of two skiers, and they full out sprint the whole way.
Right, and I think we've done better in those than we do the longer distance stuff.
Yeah, this was absolutely their best medal chance.
Right,
but they actually came through.
Yeah,
the United States never come through.
No, you know, they never went at cross country skiing.
William Cook, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but he won in 1976. He got a silver. But he's the only one ever. And we have this, like, anyway, this woman who is at the end, she's like 25 or 24 or 26 years old. Anyway, she's from Minnesota. And she has the lead, and then they go into this last climb, and then they're three wide, and then they're she's in third, and she just freaking got out around them and just outran her to the end. I mean, I really was. My cat was going crazy because I was just like screaming at the television. I couldn't believe it. It was out of this world. So it's been you know, the United States has kind of lagged in its medal totals all through, but I think after today, I got to retotal.
Well, today was the best day we've had so far.
They've been off the hook. I mean, it's been amazing. So, and the bobsledders got second.
You know, that I'm kind of like Hornheiser on that. That hasn't bothered me. And I think too, with sports becoming so much more regional than what it's been in the past, I think it's going to be harder for the U.S. to win at the Winter Olympics, just because you have, like in the Netherlands now, I mean, speed skating is, it's not just a sport, it's like the dominant sport. So the best athletes in the country are becoming speed skaters. And even though it's a small country, if you take the best of the best, they're going to be hard to beat, you know, and I think that's a big change, you know, that we've – because, you know, now these guys, in, especially in, like, the Netherlands, they can make a living doing this. So, I don't know.
But. Yeah. No, I think that that's a big difference. And the other thing, too, is that it's where does your – you know, my thing is, like, all these Winter Olympic sports in the United States, it's left-of-center kids that go into any of them.
Right.
For the most part, you know.
Well, it's like not- cycling. You know, in cycling, you know, you'll get these guys who will bubble up, like a Greg LeMond or a Lance Armstrong. But the idea that the U.S. is ever going to be dominant in cycling or is – it's never going to happen because it is a true sport over there that's watched on TV all the time. You know, the races happen in the streets all the time. I mean, it's just not that in the U.S. It's not – it doesn't exist that way here. So.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Dave Winfield. Okay, let's look. I think Dave Winfield was born in. Yeah, okay. Dave Winfield was born in St. Paul, Minnesota. Right. Winter area, right? Dave Winfield was never going to choose to go in this country, was never going to choose to go into cross country skiing as his primary thing. He may be a big cross country skier. I don't know. He was never going to choose to do that. He's going to go baseball, you know. But in Norway, if you're the best athlete in your town, you really are going to go into skiing.
Right.
Well, or, you know, some of these other sports. In South Korea now, apparently it's a short track speed skating. If you're from the Netherlands, you're going to go into speed skating, those sorts of things. So what we're always going to get in these sports are these left of center kids who, like when you hear the snowboarders talk, they really care less about winning. They do. They just – I mean, they can kind of – like occasionally you'll get a guy like Shaun White who, like, it turns out – you know, he kind of discovers his inner Michael Jordan and wants to win everything all the time.
Right.
But for the most part, they really don't care. You know, like the woman who won the cross country thing yesterday, she was really happy for the Norwegian woman who won 2 days ago. You know, it's just a different take on the world, right?
Yeah, the Lindsey Vonns are kind of the rarities.
Yes, Lindsey Vonns are rare. You know, to some degree we get it in skiing. Hey, I got
to
go.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, that was fun.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for waiting so long.
No. Yeah. I'll get this one posted.
thanks. I'm sorry I wasn't available.
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Bye.